Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. There is a problem that many of us want to solve in our lives. We want peace. We want to find contentment. We want to feel like we have enough and that we are enough, that we're good enough. Good enough mothers and fathers, good enough grandparents, good enough children, that we are good enough at work and good enough at school, and to be honest, good enough in God's eyes as well. In fact, a lot of what we do in our lives is just to show, to prove to others and to ourselves that we are doing enough, whatever that means. Today's readings speak to the question of what is enough and how do we get it? The Israelites were wandering in the desert and were worried that they wouldn't have enough food to eat, so they asked Moses, and Moses prayed to God, and God gave them manna from heaven, this bread from heaven. But even then, they weren't sure they were going to have enough. They were only supposed to gather as much as they needed for that day, twice as much on Fridays, because the Sabbath was the Saturday, they weren't supposed to go out and do anything that day. But God made it so that they only had what they needed to get through the day, just enough. Scripture said the one who gathered much didn't have too much. The one who gathered little didn't have too little. Later on in the story, if someone tried to pile up more than enough manna, the extra manna that they gathered was going to grow moldy. So God really was teaching the Israelites to find peace, to find contentment, and that was by relying on God each and every day. And this is a really important concept that we can draw from this story, that God is always the provider. Now, you might have your job that you do things at. You can work all day. You could work all day, 7 days a week, but that doesn't mean you're going to find more peace than if you work 9 to 5, 5 days a week, and then come home to your family. Because working longer hours doesn't always mean that you accomplish more. You may have this important job, but God is the provider. And if we are looking for peace and contentment, we have to look to Him and not to our own efforts to find it. Just like the Israelites, we're all looking for this elusive peace and contentment that we desire. And in our quest to become more committed followers of Jesus, to live a life of purpose, to make disciples of other people, we need to have a plan for how to find this peace. And today I want to give you 3 steps toward reaching that goal of peace in your everyday life. First, remember how God has already provided for you in the past. After you remember, second, thank God for what He is providing for you right now, today, in the present. And then finally, trust. Trust that God will provide for you in the future. Remember, thank, and trust. The Israelites could look back and remember how God had provided for them in the past by giving them this bread from heaven, this manna. And I wonder how God has provided for you in the past, because I'm sure He has. But you just might not think about it very much. Has there ever been a time that you experienced God's amazing grace, even though you didn't deserve it? Have you ever experienced God's miracles in your life? Or maybe you thought you were in really big trouble, maybe in an extreme weather event or something, and then you found help out of nowhere. It's so easy. There's so many different stories that I've heard or that I have, but I don't think about them very often. But if you think back, you can remember how God has provided for you in the past. It's important to do this because it's kind of like the foundation for finding peace today is to what we've done in the past to experience God, that we're like, well, He did this for me in the past. Maybe He's still doing it today for me. In today's gospel lesson, you heard about how God didn't just give the Israelites bread from heaven once upon a time, but that He was still giving the true bread from heaven in the form of Jesus Christ. So when you have access to Jesus, you have access to this peace and contentment that you're looking for. We need to be able to thank God for what he is providing for us right now. So I think that you should ask yourself some questions. First, what does enough look like to you? How much money do you need to feel secure? And like, if you wrote down a number and your 401k rose up to that number or whatever, all your investments rose to that number, would it be enough? Would you be satisfied? Or would you just keep on wanting more? I mean, we have to decide what is enough. Or like for your house, like what's a big enough house? What's a good enough house? Once you get there, is that okay? Or are you gonna still wanna trade in for an even better one? I mean, if you're always trading up, you'll never find that security, that contentment, that peace that you're looking for. How much is enough? Does your sports team have to win every single game they play for you to be satisfied? I mean, how much is enough? I'm a baseball fan, and that would be pretty tough. I mean, if every time you watched your baseball team, if they had to win or you'd be upset, well, you're never going to find peace and contentment. I maintain that God is providing you with enough, everything you need. But that often the contentment that we're seeking, we're discontent because we want more. We think we know what we deserve. We think we know better than God. One of the lessons that I teach premarital counseling is about receiving your spouse. I heard this lesson at a marriage retreat I was at, and I just repeat what they taught me. But you might think, for instance, if Patrick Mahomes was passing you a football, or Brock Purdy, somebody mentioned, I should have mentioned him too, you know, if one of those guys was passing you a football, you'd think it'd be easy to catch it, even in an NFL game. But NFL receivers are trained in how to receive the ball well. It's not just a good passer, you need to have a good receiver. So when someone like Travis Kelce, for instance, catches a ball across the middle of the field, he has to bring the ball all the way into his body. He has to have control of the body before he starts running towards the goal. Because, you know, if you catch the ball out here because you're nervous that someone's going to hit you or you're thinking about scoring a touchdown, you might just drop the ball. You've got to receive it all the way in. In the same way, we need to receive our spouses all the way into our lives, even if sometimes, you know, we don't like everything about them. They might be a little rough around the edges. We can't just accept most of them, most of the qualities we like. We can't just be like, well, yeah, I love you completely, except you nag me too much, or I love you completely, except you talk too much, or you don't talk enough. You know, like, it can't be what it's like. Can you thank God for all that your spouse brings? To know that if God provided you your spouse, then God has given you everything you need. So you don't actually have to look outside of your marriage to find happiness. God has already given you everything you need. The same thing applies to your money. I mean, I think everybody kind of wants more money at some point. And yet, if we believe that God is in control of our lives, that then perhaps we're making the amount of money we're supposed to be making. We're called to still work hard. We're called to do our best. It's not wrong if you get a raise or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with getting more money. It's just because you know someone else that makes more than you do doesn't mean that you're not making exactly how much you're supposed to, at least for right now, that you're getting enough is my point. In one of Jesus' parables, he explains that someone who shows that they're faithful in a little bit will therefore also be trusted with a lot. That in time, someone who's faithful with a little will be entrusted with more. So perhaps the amount of money that you've got right now is the right amount for right now. You can be satisfied with that, content, at peace. Now, maybe in time, if you're a good steward of those resources, God will bless you with more. That's certainly possible. Happens a lot. But there are also nightmare stories of people who win the lottery and it destroys their lives. And why does that happen? Well, because they now don't have enough. They have more than enough. Too much. Their financial abilities aren't up to handling all that wealth. And they don't have the maturity to handle it either. So consider, If God is your provider, consider that God has given you enough for right now. Now that may change, but finding contentment means trusting that God knows what you need and that he's given you what you need. Can you trust him with that? When you believe that God is your provider, it opens up a new perspective. You can begin to thank God in all circumstances. You know, to find a peace, there's this one more step. After we remember what God's done for us and that we're thanking him for what he's giving us, we can trust him for the future. I would like to suggest that if you can trust him in the past, or if he's been trusting in the past, if you can trust him right now, that he can be trusted to provide for everything you need in the future. And that means you can kind of relax and just sort of see where God's going to lead. There's going to be ups and downs. I mean, you know this is going to happen. There are going to be obstacles, but maybe that's part of God's plan too. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we are told to give thanks in all circumstances because we trust that those circumstances have been provided by God. Perhaps God's giving those difficulties because we have something to learn from them. In Romans chapter 5, it says that we have peace with God even when we experience suffering, because suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. God knows that it's just what happens. We tend to grow more faithful to him when we face difficult times in our lives. As long as our hearts keep trusting in Jesus, these tough times actually are really important to our spiritual growth. In the book of Jonah, this is an interesting story. At the end of the book, it's chapter 4, it says that Jonah is sitting and pouting. He's sitting and pouting in the heat of the day because the Ninevites have repented from their sins. And he knew this was going to happen, and God is just so forgiven, and so he's pouting. It says God provides Jonah a leafy plant, and it grows up over him, and it like gives him shade from the heat of the day. And then it says that God provides a worm, and the worm destroys the plant, and now Jonah is very upset about this. I just want to make the point that God provided both. Jonah didn't deserve the plant. Maybe he didn't deserve the worm either. But the thing is, we have to trust God even when we don't understand his plan for our lives, because he is the provider, and we believe that he is working in our lives for our good. Now we'll get to Job. That's the last thing I wanted to talk about. In the story of Job, he experiences all kinds of awful things. His family is killed. He even gets a lot of health problems. There's two famous things he says that he's pointing to God as his provider. He says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He can give thanks for whatever God gives him, or even if God decides that he doesn't get to have it anymore. And then when his wife questions his attitude later, he doubles down. He's like, "Well, shall we accept the good from God and not the bad? I mean, if God is our provider, we should receive everything and know that he loves us." Job saw that God was his provider, whether he liked what he was receiving or not. So you see, sometimes when I'm praying, I bring before God some really big issue for my family, and I just have no idea what could possibly make it better. You know, what I'm going to possibly be able to do to fix this problem. And sometimes I really kind of doubt that there's a very good answer that God is going to give me. But then a couple times I remember while I was praying, God kind of interrupts my prayer and says, "You know what? If you trust me to raise your dead body from your grave, if you believe that I can give you eternal life, is this little situation you're dealing with here on earth really more difficult than that?" You know, in other words, if I can trust God with impossible things, why do I struggle so much trusting him with the mundane things? And I'm asking the same thing of you. If you can trust God with your salvation of all things, can't you trust him with your marriage, your money, your job, your kids, your church, your country, And these are much smaller things. If we can trust him with the big, we can also trust him with the small. God has given you enough for this life, and he promises to give you enough for the next life as well. And as we learn to rely on him on this earth, we grow in our faith in him to provide us with that life in the next. So don't forget the three-step plan here. Remember what God has provided for you in the past. Because that's going to give you that foundation. And then thank him for what he is providing for you right now. Recognize that everything is a gift from God. Even the difficulties just might make a difference in your life. And then finally, trust. Trust that he will provide for your future, not just here on earth, but an eternal future. And this is going to help you grow into a more committed follower of Jesus and help you to share that message and his love with others who are going through these same struggles to find peace and contentment in their lives as well. Amen.